your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome back, fellow traders. This is Dr. Paula coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. Just like every other week, we are coming to you to help you understand how to create uncommon wealth, taking your finances, your trading profits, up to a higher level. Now, I've mentioned previously that one of the underlying themes that Mark Douglas and I planned so many years ago was not necessarily to push any type of agenda or methodology on traders, because there's too much of that in our industry. But our main goal, our focus, based on our personal experience and our working with, you know, tens of thousands of traders over the years, and using that data, shall we say, that's what helped us write our first book, The Disciplined Trader, and, you know, our second book, Trading in the Zone, both of which are, again, all-time bestsellers on Amazon. And to date, Trading in the Zone is translated into 15 languages, or maybe it's 18 now, I forget. And The Disciplined Trader is been translated into 8 languages. So our message is timeless because it's not specifically geared to any era or type of markets or methodology, meaning candlesticks versus, you know, P&L, Elliott Wave, whatever. It's about a mindset. It's about you knowing who you are and what you want to accomplish as a trader. And that is a timeless philosophy that we didn't invent, folks. Okay, I mean, thinking objectively and having a clear focus has been around since the most ancient of ancient philosophers. Whether they were holy men or just considered philosophers, it doesn't really matter, because the bottom line is that this type of right-minded knowledge, shall we say, and when I use the word right, I don't mean correct versus not correct. What I mean is it's right for you. So I just want to be perfectly clear about that. So there's nothing about right brain, left brain, nothing, no psychiatry here. It's just about finding out what is right for each one of you traders out there. And that's why, folks, there are no cookie cutter answers to common trading challenges. And we've been over this before, but we'll get through that again on another day, because today is Easter Sunday. For those of you that celebrate Easter, happy Easter. To my Jewish friends, happy Passover. We're in the middle of Passover right now. And, and to my Muslim friends, blessings on ending your fast. So all of us in the same time of year, it doesn't matter what faith it is. And I could probably list other faiths that have holy weeks right around the same time, but that's not the focus of the show. But what I'm saying is there are a lot more similarities between religions than differences. And again, I'm not going to get into that in great length here today, because that's not what this is about. But what our message has always been, Mark and I, is that to create great wealth, to be a warrior trader, you have to know who you are. You have to know what you believe. And until you truly accept who you are and what you believe and make that okay within yourself, then you will be consistently unable to see opportunity in the markets. That's just the way it works, because all of what we believe about ourselves, all of what we believe about our faith, filters information coming into our mental environment at every moment, every waking moment, and sometimes sleeping moments, but that's that's down the road. That's another show entirely. So what we have to understand about ourselves is, do we truly believe in ourselves? Do we truly believe that God wants us to be wealthy? And this is a basic foundation to create uncommon wealth as a trader. Now, I know I've told you funny anecdotes and stories about traders who, you know, lost money in the market because they had a rosary or a holy medal in their pocket and some coins touched it. And since they have a belief that money is dirty, and then they felt it was blasphemous and it was a sin and all this kind of stuff. That's not the kind of beliefs I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is getting past man-made statements about what is right and wrong in terms of how you should relate to God. Now, I will admit, I was raised Catholic. I went to seminary, and my primary focus was interfaith. So I have studied most of the major world religions and ancient religions. Now, I'm no authority, don't get me wrong. I know enough to be comfortable at any temple or church or gathering that I may be invited to. I know how to be respectful of each religion's practices. And when I am there, then I will adopt that. For instance, I was invited some years ago to the opening of the Sikh temple in Phoenix. And knowing what the Sikh faith was about, there was going to be, you know, a lovely ceremony and, you know, a nice message. And then afterwards, there would be a great meal with all of the congregants serving all the rest of the visitors. But in the meantime, I also knew what most Sikh women wear to temple. And so I called my Hindu friend, Saraj, and we went shopping. And so I got a beautiful Sikh outfit, not a sari, but similar. And it was really appreciated by the Sikh priest and everyone there in attendance. So my point being is that I didn't have a problem dressing that way to be respectful to another faith. That didn't take away my faith from me. If anything, it enhanced my idea that all roads lead to God. That's what I was taught. So if you want to go to your church every Sunday or your temple or somebody's home or wherever and gather in his name, then that's what's right for you. And that's what I'm talking about, right thinking. But if you don't know what you would do or if you should do it or why you have to do it, then you have to sit down and take a few moments and say, what is it that I believe about God? What is it I believe about my relationship with God? And be honest. Now, a lot of traders I work with don't feel that God hears their prayers. Now, I understand that because there's a lot of times, even with myself, I may have had prayers that I thought I didn't get answers to. And I know a lot of faith leaders say, well, you know, God will answer them in his own time. Yes, there is an element to that. However, a larger part of that, statement is you will hear God's answers when you accept those answers, not wait for answers that you think should be given to you in a certain way or from a certain person or during a certain amount of time. So I have learned, you know, Mark and I learned this together. We worked together on this and had great lengthy discussions about this. And we would talk to each other and say, well, you know, I've been praying for this. Why do you think it hasn't manifested? And the answer was simple. It already had manifested, but we just didn't see it because we weren't listening for true answers. We still had a limited focus on where God's answers could come from. We were still thinking God's answers should come from this or that, here and there. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about here today, because no matter what faith you belong to, spring, just with Mother Nature, is a time of renewal. As the Buddha said, you know, we become what we think. And he also stated that every day is a new beginning. Now, I know society doesn't teach that, and we'll get into that in the next segment. But if you choose to embrace that, like Mark Douglas did, and like I do, I can wake up every day and say, you know what? Heck, I can be whoever I want to be today. I can be happy, or I can be sad. I could be inspired, or I could be not so inspired. I could be feeling refreshed, or I could be feeling tired. So every single day we wake up, God gives us an opportunity to choose who we want to be. We have free will. He doesn't interrupt that. So we can wake up every day and say, you know what? This is going to be a banner trading day. I'm really going to kick it today. Or we can wake up and say, oh, I had such a lousy day yesterday. I got to get that money back. So you got to weigh it out here. Put it on that mental scale. Which one of those perspectives do you think is going to bring you profit? So let's think about that as we roll into a short break here. And just, you know, maybe write down some notes before we start the next segment. Hang on to that, and we will be back shortly. Okay, so one of the things we have to understand as traders is that it doesn't matter, again, what faith you belong to, but there is a higher power. There is a God. I will use the term God loosely. I will also share with you that when I was a child, I was so into Greek and Roman mythology. I couldn't get enough of it. And fortunately, the grammar school that I went to was just chock full of first edition philosophy books. And I can't even remember the authors who wrote about the Greek and Roman mythology. But they were definitely accepted as experts. And one of the things that I really thought was cool was Atlas holding up the Earth. Now, where do you think the term Atlas came from? It came from the name of the god that held up the Earth. Now, I'm not going to go into all the names of all the different mythological gods way back when. First of all, I don't remember them all, but second of all, the point is that from the beginning of the spoken word, and then eventually the written word, there has always been like a main god. Look at Zeus. Okay, I'm just remembering Zeus. You know, he was supposed to be the head of all the gods. And so if we kind of extrapolate all this, so all the other gods under Zeus or the god above Atlas, whatever, or underneath Atlas, or any of the other main gods, that could be, they could be construed as saints, angels, guardian angels, our departed loved ones that go to heaven. It could be our beloved pets that are in heaven waiting to see us again. So my point being is that there is an element of truth in mythology that makes it mystical and beautiful. Do I believe in sin? Yes, I think humans are capable of doing bad things, but I don't think that God is a vengeful God. I think bad things happen to people who sin because they feel guilty. So they actually create a negative experience saying, well, I was mean to that person and then, you know, something bad happened to me because that was God punishing me. No, that's yourself punishing you because God loves you no matter what. And the reason that I'm being very, very full of faith here today is not just because it's Easter Sunday, but also because as traders, you need to embrace your idea of faith. God loves you just as you are right now, whether you're successful as a trader or not. And again, I'm going to keep pointing this out, folks. Each one of you who has a trading account, that is success. There are millions and millions of people that are very poor and have no education or little or no education or just don't believe that they can get ahead. They'll never have a trading account, even though they dream of it, because they don't believe that God wants them to be wealthy. Now, I can't change the whole world, but all I can do is tell you that Mark and I embraced that God would always provide for us. We were never poor. We weren't always wealthy, but we always had a roof over our head, drove decent cars, had nice furniture, you know, whatever. I mean, we were never destitute. And, it, you know, so the point is, because as we were growing the business, as we were writing our books, as we started coaching traders, we strengthened our faith in knowing that God will always provide for us because he is the provider. God gives us everything. He truly does, if we allow him to. Now you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you can't demand God give you a winning day trading. That's not the way it works. How it works is you can say something to the effect of, God, I need your advice on how to approach my trading day to take as much profit as possible. Now, that's telling God you want to work together. And he's digging that, man. He's right on top of that. God loves to help people who ask him to work together. And that's what I do each and every day in my prayers, my meditation, whether I'm frustrated or happy or confused or whatever. I say, okay, God, I don't know what to do right now. So I need you to help me. And if I free up my mind, if I truly free up my mind, all of a sudden, I'm grabbing that pad of paper and I'm jotting down notes, and I know that's from him. There is not a shred of doubt in my mind at all, folks. And this is where we're going to be taking this message further for traders. You're going to learn how to embrace your God-given, your heavenly ordained spirit to become the most prosperous trader you ever dreamed of. Now, you know, I've mentioned before that I lost everything after Mark died, and maybe some of you don't believe that. You know, I'm still under bankruptcy filing, so I don't have the best credit, but I do have good credit, not enough to, let's say, get a six-figure mortgage. I mean, over $500,000. But the bottom line is that if I didn't believe in God being there for me and trusting in Him leading me through all those dark days, I wouldn't be here today. And I and my books wouldn't be selling bigger and better than ever before, with new books coming out every couple months and new products. So, you know, my point being, folks, is that if you have a challenge believing that God is on your side, then contact me. Give me a call. Set up the introductory call, which is on my website, paulatweb.com. You can also reach me at markdouglas.com, because we work together. So those two domains will reach me. Pick up the phone if you have to, 760-636-4290, and we can set up a time to chat. Because I understand that a lot of this may be new for you, and it isn't necessarily so new for me. And I could help explain how you need to believe in yourself and believe in our Heavenly Father, that He is there for you. 1,000%. I believe in this. I live it. I have seen it in action in my own life and in other people's lives. So there is no discounting this. There is no discounting this. This doesn't have to be metaphysical. It doesn't have to be philosophical. It doesn't have to be, you know, from a psychiatric level or a therapy level. All it has to be is you deciding that you believe that God is going to help you become the best trader you can be. And to be honest with you, you probably wouldn't be listening to this show if you didn't already believe a certain percentage of what I'm saying. So, you know, let's think about this briefly and start getting out of your own way. Start taking a mental inventory of limiting ideas that you were taught. Now, you know, all these, everything we're taught was taught to us by others, except whatever we explore on our own. But even though we may have changed greatly for the better over the years, we still have underlying beliefs that still have energy. Memories that still have energy. And they may not be so positive. And those beliefs and memories have a very unique way of inviting themselves into your trading, even when we don't want them to, and when we least expect them. So we have to be very conscious of knowing what we believe about ourselves, our ability to take profit, keep it, grow it, and what we believe about God helping us become the best traders we can be. So think about that for a moment as we head into break. And we're going to go over some really cool stuff in the next segment. I think you're going to really enjoy. So sit back, get another cup of coffee, and we will be back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, we are back, folks. Now, there's another book that I would like to suggest that you take a look at in regard to your trading. Now, I picked this up, I don't even remember where, probably at a garage sale somewhere, but it's called The Sniper Mind. Eliminate fear, deal with uncertainty, and make better decisions. And I really don't know why I picked it up, because I'm certainly not a sniper. I was never in the military. But for some reason, it just kind of attracted me. So As I'm reading through it, I mean, I'm not reading the whole thing because, there's stuff about being a sniper, but there is some really dynamic information in here about focus. Now, there was a paper in the U.S. National Library of Medicine in the NIH website, where researchers, I guess, did a study about the neurobiological state of happiness. And these researchers described it as a, quote, state of pleasure without disruptive desires, a state of contentment, unquote. So what we can extrapolate from just that sentence is that the secret to happiness, it truly lies in being so mentally engaged in a focus on what we do that there's no room for anything else in our mental environment but that overriding sense of purpose. Okay? So, in other words, if you were a Buddhist or, read a lot of the New Age books back in the 80s and the 90s, that would be the description of being in the now moment. Okay? So if we look at let's say a circle, excuse me, between the old and the modern, the internal and the external, the theoretical and the practical, and we take a look at Takuan Suho, this is the man credited with influencing Zen Buddhism to 15th century Japan. Now, he was a highly influential but eccentric figure who made friends with and played a part in the development of some of Japan's most notable warriors and leaders. Suho used words that described a state of mind not unlike that those researchers from the NIH describing a state of happiness and fulfillment or a state of flow. So what Suho is credited with saying, and I don't know if this is verbatim, but it's seems pretty good. He said, when the swordsman stands against his opponent, he is not thinking of his opponent. He is not thinking of himself, nor of his opponent's movements. He just stands there with his own sword, which, forgetting all technique, he is ready only to follow the dictates of his focus. His own focus. The swordsman has put himself as the wielder of his sword. And when he strikes, it is not the swordsman, but rather the sword in the hand, in his hand. And it's the hand of the man's conscious focus that strikes. Now, we could say his conscious focus is being connected to God. He's purely objective. He's not emotional. He's not thinking about the warrior in front of him. He's only thinking about executing. And isn't that what traders do? They execute their trades. So we can make the analogy here from this 15th century wise man that every single trader needs to stand at attention before trading every day and not think about what's on the other side of the trade, who's on the other side of the trade, not necessarily buy into any news media feed because you don't know if that's true. And this goes back to what I've said previously about putting on your armor. So we can take this a little further and say the swordsman has to use his sword, wield his very sharp sword to cut through the veil of uncertainty, of unknowing, of not trusting, just cut through that veil to have a clear focus in front of them to do what needs to be done. And that's exactly how traders have to think. Now, do you think the sniper is in any military operation? Do you think he's worried about his opponent? Maybe when he was training to be a sniper. But no, he is 100% focused on taking out his opponent. That's his training. That's his armor. His gun isn't an armor. Anybody can hold a gun. Anyone can shoot a gun. Doesn't mean they're going to hit a target. I know, I'm a gun owner, okay? Some days I'm good, some days I'm not, okay? It takes focus. So my point being is that traders have to look at executing their trades almost as a military type operation. And you don't have to have been in the military to execute well. I've never been in the military, but when I trade, I execute well because I know exactly what I need to do and I follow through. And you know how I can follow through? Because I know God is with me, and not just on Easter Sunday. Now, I know I've mentioned before, I don't know, maybe in this show, but in my workshops and my coaching, that I do not trade on Mondays. I'm just not a good trader on Monday. I don't know why. I don't remember. I don't care anymore. The bottom line is I have no impulse to trade on Mondays. I never did, really, even when I was a floor trader. So I know I'm going to lose money if I trade on Mondays. So I had to rule that out. That's off my plate. And countless traders over the years, and you know who I'm talking to out there, have said, well, but you missed that big move on Monday, you know, Monday last. And I'm like, I didn't miss anything because I know I wouldn't have managed my trades. I wouldn't have executed my trades like a warrior. I would not have executed my trades like a winner. So I just cut that out. That's not even a part of my focus. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm on. I'm in. All in. Friday just depends on, you know, if I'm working with traders or doing a workshop. But so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those are my strongest days, and I know I will get the job done. So again, this description by this 15th century, you know, philosopher, who you know, brought a mindset to these warriors back then. He's got it going on. Just reading, you know, two pages out of this book has just really done it for me. So let's just say you're thinking, okay, well, that sounds great, but how do I find my center? How do I find my focus? In other words, how do traders attain that coveted sense of serenity, of knowing that you will execute exactly what you need to do with your trades? So you have to just, you know, just write down what are the similarities in the brains of, let's say, baseball players taking a swing, top snipers taking a shot, you as a trader putting on a trade. What are the connecting threads that lead all the way up to a trader making a decision to execute every day. How can we learn to activate those threads so that our thinking is focused? Here's a basic four-step process. Every major decision is filtered through. You make it personal to you. You make it real. You make it credible to happen. And then you make it actual, meaning you actually make it happen. So each one of those steps, you know, has a list of activities attached to it, of course, which depend on each trader. Make it personal means clear your head and define your purpose. Make it real. Be empathetic to what's going on. Make it credible. Calculate the risk. Calculate the odds. Make it actual. Assess the situation and do what needs to be done. Now, of course, each one of those steps is going to be different for each one of you traders because you all trade different markets and that sort of thing. You know, so you can't necessarily discuss it with other traders because they're going to have a different perspective. What you can do is do it for yourself and see how it works. So just, you know, as we head into another break, just think about that. Make it personal, make it real, make it credible, make it actual. Four simple thought processes. We'll be right back. Okay, so we are back. So now the next question I know I can hear you guys thinking. How do you attain, again, that coveted sense of serenity and objectivity that all the best traders talk about without, you know, let's say packing up your job and, you know, joining the military to train as a sniper or, you know, giving up all your worldly delights to train as a monk, you know, or go, as Mark Douglas always said, I really wanted to just go live in a cave and become an Indian mystic. And I truly believe he did want to do that. And then maybe that's where he is today in heaven. But because that's how important his connection to God was to him. He was not into materialistic stuff other than, you know, what I made him do, meaning, you know, he probably would have lived out of his car if he could have had, you know, if he wanted to, but I mean, I'm exaggerating here, but he truly had little regard for materialism because he felt his path was to be as spiritual as he could and be as connected to God in any given moment as physically possible. Now, I'm a little different in that regard. I do like my lifestyle, but I approach it from the fact that whatever I receive in terms of compensation, that's because God and I are in agreement as to what I want, what I achieve, and my connection through him is what allows me to have a very nice lifestyle for me. So this is what I'm saying from the beginning of the show, folks, is that you have to know what you want, number one. You have to know what's actually possible for you to achieve. But most importantly, you have to know what you think. Many traders have said to me, you know, that which ended up being a conflict between taking great profit out of the markets and their faith. And these traders were boom and busters repeatedly, sometimes for years. And I would just tell them, hey, I love money. Money loves me. And I know that God wants me to have as much money, you know, through trading profits, through selling books, through speaking with you guys here today, as I want. I don't have a conflict making any amount of money because I have a business plan. Not just my trading plan, but I have a business plan. So my, just like with Mark, when we were together before he passed away unexpectedly, we had a plan as to how we were going to turn our trading profits back into the community. And I'm not suggesting that any of you out there do that. All I'm saying is that's what we chose because it was important to us. When we first started this whole process, as I've mentioned previously, we started in a studio apartment, okay? I mean, literally, we had two nickels to rub together. That's about what we had. We just had a vision. And God took us from that all the way up to where I am today. But even when we didn't have hardly anything, I mean, like, I think he had maybe three jackets, you know, four pairs of slacks, you know, five shirts, and the same with me, that we, you know, wore over and over again to different events or meetings or presentations. But we still gave back to the community. We lived in Chicago at that time, and we started working with the Pacific Garden Mission, which is a, I'm going to say it's non-denominational Christian-based homeless shelter. And we would go over there and, you know, serve meals, provide fellowship, that kind of thing. When we lived in Arizona for a couple of years, we provided the same type of effort for the Andre House, which was actually a Catholic homeless shelter. And that was in the worst part of Phoenix. It was very uncomfortable sometimes arriving and leaving because of the bad element out on the street. I mean, it was just like a gang neighborhood. But we knew that nothing would happen to us. Nothing would happen to our car, whether we left after dark. And because we were so blessed to have the resources where we could take time off and give back to those less fortunate. And I will tell you, to this day, seeing the people that streamed into those shelters and having them with tears in their eyes and sometimes sobbing, thanking us for giving them an extra piece of bread or, you know, an extra serving of a meal or just thanking us for being there is just priceless. So I don't want you to interpret this that we were doing that to win God's favor, because that's just who we are. That's the way Mark and I were raised, to give back. So the point is that all of you traders out there, you have to come to terms with your relationship with God. It's Easter Sunday. We're in the middle of Passover. Let's start new beginnings. Spring has just sprung. Every day is a new opportunity to start new and to embrace a higher connection with our Heavenly Father. And you can do it. It doesn't matter what you believe. This is one of my favorite passages from the Bible, the book of Luke. And it says, trust in God. Consider the ravens. They never sow nor reap. They have neither storerooms nor barns, yet God feeds them. Consider how the lilies grow. They don't toil. They don't work. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed in beauty like the lilies. So if God clothes the very grass which flourishes in the field today, but tomorrow may be cut and thrown on the hearth, how much more are you, to God. So do not be afraid, for it pleases God to give you the kingdom. I believe that. So did Mark Douglas, and so can you. This is Dr. Paula signing off for another week. I wish you a joyous and blessed Easter, or whatever day you want to, just a joyous Sunday. I wish you prosperous Monday and following weeks of trading. And again, God bless you.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.